Hey guys, this is Sam. Welcome to another episode and Sometimes There's Scotch Horror Review. This is the fourth fucking time we've tried to record this goddamn fucking episode.
Today.
Okay, and I'm not even joking. Like, there's something up with Audacity, and that's one of the reasons why you don't get as many episodes as I would like for you guys, is because, one, there's a lot of time consumed watching the movies, taking down notes, typing up the notes, trying to find out fun facts about the movies, and then to be like, all right, got all the paperwork done, got this all ready to go, and to put in the microphone and get ready to record it on Audacity, and Audacity's like, fuck you.
Big, huge middle finger.
Yeah, the biggest, like, they're doing it so hard that it's a strain to them. Okay, so enough about that. If anybody's listening to this and you know how to fix Audacity problems, please let me know. Or if you can think of a better software to use for recording podcasts, let me know. I'm only using Audacity because, well, it was free. And I'm cheap. I do not make money. Contrary to popular belief, I do not make tons of money working in produce. So, I wish that was a lie. I wish that I was rolling into it, but I'm not. And I've yet to find a sugar daddy or sugar mama in which to provide for those things. So, Audacity it is. The issues that I'm having with Audacity is it'll either spike our voices to where we sound ridiculous like chipmunks. The low voices, right?
Or it sounds like we've just smoked the 12th pack cigarettes for today.
Yeah, exactly. Or it'll fuzz out, or it'll, like, flatline. It's like, okay, cool, awesome. Anyways, enough about the Audacity bitching. What? Do you have any horror news before we start talking about our review?
Yeah, leech facials. I've heard about them from Ripley's Believe It or Not on Facebook.
Okay.
And basically, they attach a leech to your chin, mm-hmm. underneath your chin right here. Mm-hmm. And then they remove
the leech. And for those of you
not
being able to see it, she, like, actually put it, like, underneath her chin.
Like, so. Underneath your chin.
Yeah.
And then they remove the leech, and, like, the leech gets all pukey and pukes up the blood. And then you have bloody puke and saliva all over your face. Yes.
Wow, that is disturbing.
Very disturbing.
We saw some, we recently saw a couple of horror movies, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We finally saw the Winchester House.
Yeah, the House of Ghosts built, and I was so happy. I was just like, yes, thank you.
Yeah, so guys, definitely go see the house, Winchester, the house that Ghosts built. Helen Mirren is amazing as Sarah Winchester.
Oh, she made an amazing Sarah Winchester. She played the role perfectly.
Yeah, she was really, really good in it. We've also seen The Shape of Water. I've seen it twice so far.
I've seen it once.
And it's really good. But then again, like, Guillermo del Toro is doing it, so, like, how can you not expect it to be
Yeah,
good?
It's Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, exactly, you know, so, definitely check out both of those movies out. We're not going to get into much detail about what they're about. I mean, obviously, you know, houses goat built, ghosts built, not goats built. That would be a fun movie to go see, too, is based on the Winchester home and Sarah Winchester and all that. Shape of the Water, a woman finds a creature in a government facility, like a sea creature. And falls in love with him. And he does the same to her. And it's a great, like, love story kind of movie. Especially with it being Valentine's Day today.
Yeah.
We're pre-recording this, guys. So when you actually hear it, you'll be like, no, Sam and Zoe. It's Friday the 16th. And we'll be like, we recorded it on Valentine's Day. So, you know.
Technicality.
Any other, like, horror stuff you want to talk about before we start?
I can't remember what her name was.
Uh-huh.
But one of the teenagers involved in the Slender Man case.
Yeah.
And this happened, like, a long while ago. Apparently they took their friend to the woods to kill her to be part of his posse or whatever.
Right.
For you those don't know, just look up Slender Man.
Yeah,
just
look up Slender Man.
It makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
She got sentenced to, it was either 14 or 40 years in a mental institution.
Which makes sense.
Perfect sense. And it was just the one girl, though. I don't know what happened to the other girl, because there's two of them.
Only you know what? I bet she's the one. The other one might have probably made, like, a plea deal.
Probably.
Because that happens. Anyways, so there's that. Yesterday, me and my other younger sister, Sabrina, went to Wake Brewing to do Wake the Dead horror trivia. Zoe, unfortunately, could not go because it was not an all-ages event. She's just barely...
Underage.
Like, barely. Just barely. So that sucks. But Sabrina and I went. We had a blast with it. Devin hosts it. He comes up with these horror questions. The horror trivia and the Roztalk stuff kind of correlate with each other. So, like, any questions from... They're going to pull questions from the movies that you see at Roztalks for the horror trivia. Obviously, this next month, they're not going to be able to do that because March 20th is the Wake the Dead horror trivia, and March 31st is going to be the April Fool's Day themed Roz Talks at shows. So, and of course, I'll have links in the description for you guys. It's a blast. It's fun. Horror trivia. I don't know what all the prizes are going to be, but this first time around, it was $40 gift card, and then it was, like, a round of beers. So, but I think I heard him say that he was going to do, like, you know, vinyls, and, you know, you can get audience request songs. I'm really upset you guys did not play Slow Fast Food Love, because Poultry Guys would have been perfect. I understand that you played a lot of really cool songs, and I was excited to hear Ginger Snaps. But, I'm not saying I'm disappointed, but as a... I'm disappointed a little bit, all right?
You guys
do better next time, have the musicals. All right, so what movie are we talking about today, though?
Spider Baby,
okay. What can we say about Spider Baby? Like, is it in color? Is it black and white?
It is black and white, and I loved it.
And why are we reviewing Spider Baby? Because usually we do...
50th anniversary, January 18th, I want to say. I know it's a Thursday.
Yeah, okay.
Middle of January, somewhere.
So what? So is that why we're doing just one movie then? Is because of the anniversary episode? Okay, that makes sense. Some other anniversary episodes online, guys. Phantoms, which I was going to do Phantoms, but a buddy of mine, he's got this amazing yearbook layout that him and a friend did, and the teacher didn't catch him for doing this. And it was called Ben Affleck with the Bomb in Phantoms, yo. So if you go back through his yearbook, it's his senior year yearbook, you can find little images of fucking Ben Affleck everywhere in the goddamn yearbook. At one point, he's showing me this thing, and you know how, like, you can read papers, and, like, the first letter of each one makes, like, a sentence?
Mm-hmm.
They did one, and it said Ben Affleck was the bomb in Phantoms, yo. Like, it's the greatest thing. So I wasn't going to do it, but now I'm going to do it. And another anniversary episode that we will be doing soon is going to be The Serpent and the Rainbow. Anyway, Spider Baby. Aw, Jafar's coming in. We have a special guest star entering the studio. It's the Poopikins.
Hi.
It's Jafar. Oh, he's getting up to the microphone. Okay.
He doesn't like being away from his pack.
Anyway, Spider Baby, 50th anniversary or whatever. What else can you say about black and white? Any notable, like, cast?
Lon Chaney Jr. plays the chauffeur Bruno.
Yep.
And Lon Chaney Jr. was the...
Wolfman. He was the Wolfman. Anyways, oh, also Sid Haig is in Spider Baby as well, guys. So, and he's from... So, for everybody listening, though, sorry for the technical difficulties, guys. Like I said, fourth recording, couldn't get it to do it right. And for some reason now, the dog has decided to join us in the studio. Which is not much of a studio, it's actually our parents' bedroom.
It is a studio, Sam.
It's our studio. So, back to Spider Baby, black and white. Stars Lon Chaney Jr. and Sid Haig as the, like, most notable individuals. For the horror community. Lon Chaney being the Wolfman. Sid Haig having been, well, Captain Spaulding. What can you tell us about this movie? Like, what's your first... what were your thoughts on it? Did you like it? Did you hate it?
I loved the movie, even though it's pretty weird. Pretty weird. Not gonna lie.
Okay.
Like, some of the scenes I'm just like, but why? No. Okay. Fine. And the dog is sniffing my sister's computer screen, so I am very distracted.
Well, right now he's trying to figure out why there's a little red bar, like, just moving across the screen, and I think he's going to hit it at some point, because he's following the red dot, guys.
I did not get a dog. I got a cat trapped in the dog's body, guys. Yeah,
she really did. Anyway, stop trying to eat the computer. Like, it's still there. Stop it. All right, Zoe, sorry. Go ahead and talk about the movie.
Okay. Basic summary of said movie.
Mm-hmm.
These three siblings, Elizabeth, Virginia, and Ralph, are taken care of at their family's estate by the chauffeur, Bruno.
Okay.
And the three siblings suffer from... they suffer from Mary's syndrome, which doesn't start until age 10, and it's a reversal in mental age.
Uh-huh.
And in some cases... the said infected individual thinks that they're an animal of some sort.
Okay. So, why don't we try to get through, like, what we have on our notes for this review? Because right now we're watching the dog, and he's, like, really trying to get this little red bar that keeps moving across my screen. Okay, he's leaving the studio. Bye, Jafar.
Bye.
Okay. Okay. We are so sorry, guys, but it was adorable, and he was chasing it. Anybody curious, Jafar is a mini schnauzer.
He's a black mini schnauzer, and he is on your other poop sometime.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into talking about what happens in this movie.
Okay, I took the first half.
Yep.
Because I could understand that better. Right. You took the second half, because the second half for me was like,
So yeah, guys, this review is definitely going to be different, because normally what we do is we do the compare contrast. Like, that's what we do. We don't get into a lot of detail about the movie. We're just like, hey, this is the plot. These are the scenes we're going to talk about, because this is how they differed. These are the characters we're going to talk about, because that's how they differed. This being a single movie, we are actually going to do a more traditional, like, scene-by-scene discussion of it. So if that's boring to you, like, we're not going to be upset if you guys are like, all right, I'm out. Catch you guys next week.
Our special guest is
coming back in. We might as well just leave the door open, honestly.
Hi.
Okay, so Zoe, go ahead and try to talk about the first half of the movie, and then I will continue with my portion of the movie. So, go!
Okay. It opens up, and you see the opening credits. Mm-hmm. There's, like, these little animations that remind us of the Pink Panther.
Right.
And you hear this Halloween-like song. Mm-hmm. And I found out that apparently Lon Chaney Jr. is the one that is singing this. Aww. And I got, like, a little disappointed, because I was like, this sounds like the Nightmare Before Christmas narrator. But no, it's Lon Chaney Jr.
You know what? I don't know how old, God, Danny Elfman would have been.
I don't think he would have been born.
He might have been. He's kind of an older guy. Anyways.
Okay, now you open up, and then there's this man in the chair. And beside him is a table, and on the table there's this book of rare and peculiar diseases. And it is open to Mary Syndrome, which we already kind of got into that a little bit.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Feel free to re-say it if you need to or want to.
Okay, it's an inherited genetic disease, and it causes a reversal in mental age. And you find out that the last known case was 10 years ago. And then they do a little flashback.
Yep, they do a flashback.
Oh, flashback thingy. Hi. And you find this black male. We're assuming he was the messenger of the lawyer.
Yeah. Because, like, that's the only, like, letter he's got.
Yeah. And he's looking for the Mary's estate. So he sees these two little boys behind a fence.
I thought it was a little boy, a little girl.
I can't remember. I thought it was two little boys.
Okay, well, anyways. Two children.
And he walks up to them. He asks them, hey, do you know where Mary's estate is? And he's not being rude about it. He's being very polite.
Yeah.
And then you see their back door slam open.
Mm-hmm.
And out comes the mama.
Yep.
And she rushes towards him, pulls the kids back behind the fence, shuts the fence, and it's like, no, we don't know where that is. And if we did, we wouldn't tell you.
Yes.
And you're just like, oh my god.
Yeah. So you're not really sure if, like,
she's being protective mama bear here, or if she's being legit racist.
Like, she's being racist. She's definitely being racist. Like, let's not beat her up. Anyways, go on.
Okay, where was I?
The racist mother.
But sad enough, they don't tell him, and then he finds the estate on his own.
Which, guys,
and
honestly,
the way he finds it, yeah, which I think is so, so weird, he's like, oh, there's an abandoned place right there. That must be the place. It's abandoned. It's in the, I want to say it was in the woods.
Yeah.
It looked like it hadn't been kept in care of for years.
Yeah, guys,
now.
So remember, if he's abandoned that mansion, like, clearly that's where you need to go.
Just stay the night there.
Yeah.
And he doesn't go through the door, which I think is really, really weird. There's an open window, and he sticks his upper half through the window.
Right. Well, I thought he was, like, calling around first, and then he saw a window.
Yeah. He was calling around first, and he sees the window, and he's like, oh, I can just fit through here.
Yeah, great. Well, I don't think that this poor individual was, like, trying to do a B&E, because he wasn't. Like, he came up there, and he, like, looked around at the front door, and then, like, he
wasn't
was
getting an answer.
Yeah.
So he figured he'd go in the house himself.
Yeah.
And this is where my favorite character comes in. The entire movie. Virginia. And what happens is she's, like, all wide-eyed, all happy, the creepy, happy smile that all kids have in horror movies when they're the killer. Or one of the killers.
Right.
And she has this fishing net, and she tosses it over the guy. Then you see her knife, and she starts hacking away at him.
Right.
But you don't see anybody. You don't see anything. You just see the guy looking all terrified, and her going like, her smiling happily.
In fact, I don't think I recall seeing any kind of blood in this movie.
None. Whatsoever.
Saw disembodied ear.
Yeah. That disembodied ear does come into play later, guys. That happens, and then Bruno comes back from town with Ralph.
Yay, Ralph!
Because apparently Ralph needs to go to, like, some therapist of some sort.
Yeah.
To help just, him like, out.
I think it might have been just a routine doctor's visit, honestly. Like, a checkup.
Yeah. I think that's what they said, too. And it's so cute, because, like, Virginia is so, so excited to see him. She, like, rushes out, and she opens the car door. And you see him. You see Ralph, and he is laying on his stomach, I want to say.
Yeah.
And he comes out of the car almost on all fours, eh?
Yeah, he, like, from what I remember. He, like, spills out of it.
He, like, spills out.
The dog discovered the red dot again.
He, like, spills out of it. And I'm not quite sure if you picked this up or not.
Right.
But, like, this is where you find out what Elizabeth's mental thing is.
Okay.
And it's, she wants people to hate other people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, with Bruno, she wanted Bruno to hate Virginia because she killed man.
Yeah, Elizabeth's very much obsessed with that. Like, anytime children do anything kind of bad,
she's like, you should hate him.
Yeah.
And it's just like, whoa there, little girl.
Yeah.
Simmer down. And you find out that Bruno cannot hate. He promised their father he would never hate them.
Yeah.
At all, which I find kind of bittersweet.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Especially towards the end.
Yeah, especially towards the end.
So.
And you find out that Virginia almost got two boys in her net prior to her killing this guy.
Yeah.
And Bruno had to scold him, like, no, Virginia, you can't play spider anymore. The town was talking about this. And when the town starts talking about us, that's very, very bad.
Right.
Very much scolding like a parent would.
Right. Well, at that point, like, Bruno is very much, like, their caregiver, their parent.
Yeah, very much. They clean up the mess.
Mm-hmm.
The black male is down like this chute of some sort. From what I've seen, it looks like it's a. Oh, how would I describe it?
It's a dumb waiter, guys.
Yeah, that. Thank you,
same waiter.
Dumb waiter. Okay.
And the dumb waiter is kind of important because that is kind. That is also Ralph's means of traveling in the house.
Yeah.
He uses it a lot, so.
And you see Elizabeth and Virginia, and they're sweeping, they're mopping, and then you see the severed ear.
Oh, yeah.
And little Virginia walks over, grabs tiny little box, and puts the ear in it and closes it. And Elizabeth just kind of looks at her like, you serious? You're keeping it? And for some reason, I don't know why I thought of this,
right.
But it made me think of, like, she was keeping a trophy of some sort.
More than likely.
Da-da-da. And then you see this man, they do their cleaning stuff, yada, yada, yada. And then the scene changes to this man and woman in a car. The man I remember is Mr. Howe. The woman's name, I can't remember her name.
Right.
I don't think they were married.
No, it was, are you talking about the brother and the sister?
Yeah, that.
It was Emily.
Emily, okay.
Yeah.
Emily.
Peter and Emily.
Peter and Emily. I did not like her. I hated Emily.
Emily was a bitch.
Yes, she was.
Emily
very much so. She's a very see next Tuesday. I'm better than you because this and that and this and that. And you're just like, I hope you die.
Yeah, like Emily's the kind of person where she's on the screen. You're just like,
she's the one person in the entire movie that just like,
let the
death fall upon you.
Yeah, you're rooting for it.
Yeah, you're rooting for it.
So go on.
Well, they arrive to the place, and Bruno has to warn. We're in every last of the new guests.
Uh-huh.
That the children are not used to being around people. And he warns them.
He does.
And they don't take it seriously.
No, they don't.
They really don't. And they should have.
Yeah.
And this is where he starts talking about the children, letting them know and whatnot. And you find out the lawyer
yeah.
that Emily and Peter brought with them
mm-hmm.
or met them there. He wants the kids put in a mental institution.
Yeah, he does.
And Bruno's very against it.
He is, because that was something that he promised the father that would never happen to the kids.
And my favorite line in the whole movie is said by the lawyer, and it is, we hide our insane behind walls of shame.
That's a really good line.
It's very catchy. It's very catchy. Almost true to this day sometimes.
It is.
My God, puppy.
Yeah, so the dog was barking earlier. He was barking because he couldn't get the friggin' red dot that's on the computer screen right now. And he's looking at the lines, so like, okay.
Okay. And, like, you see Elizabeth and Virginia.
Right.
And they're next to each other, and Elizabeth's, like, talking about us. Like, all...
What's happened at this point? Because, like, we got to a point where Bruno
is talking to the guest.
Okay.
They're in the same room together.
Okay.
Elizabeth and Virginia are a little bit away from the guest, but they can still hear what's going on. They could hear the lawyer telling Bruno that the kids need to be put in a mental institution.
All right. So, for those of you who are listening, who might be a little bit confused about this, because I went from...
Yeah, I got distracted by a puppy.
Distracted by the dog. Peter and Emily are outside, and they discover that, yes, this is a merry home. Emily has a run-in with Ralph, where she gets scared of him, and they leave. Flash forward to Bruno picking up the lawyer. The lawyer and the lawyer's assistant. To bring them back to the house.
Yes. That's what I missed.
Yeah, that's what you missed. To bring them back to the house. And then Peter and Emily are there as well. So it's Peter, Emily, Bruno, the lawyer, whose name I never got.
I didn't get his name
either. It might be in my notes somewhere. And Anne, who's the lawyer's assistant, are at dinner with the Merry family. And what they're talking about is the initial meeting of the children and everybody. So,
yeah.
Alonzo, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to make sure, like, people knew what we were talking about.
Okay, where was I?
Oh,
yeah, Elizabeth. Like, you see Elizabeth, Virginia, like I said, they're all in their own little area. And Elizabeth's just like, they're talking about us, Virginia. And I can't tell if she's trying to be snobbish or if, like, just being, like, eavesdroppy.
Right.
Or whatever. And, like, the way Virginia responds, it's the same exact tone of voice. It's, I know. Like, very eerie, very creepy-like. Then Bruno, the chauffeur, has to explain to the uncle what Mary syndrome is, because the uncle has no idea what the disease is or how it affects the children. So what? So on. And I'm probably going to skip ahead a little here. We go to the... they're going to have dinner with the children, obviously. I'm trying to think. Where was I?
What's up?
I was at the dinner scene. Oh, yeah. You see this little cat outside a little bit.
Oh, God.
And you see this cat.
Mm-hmm.
Weird thing to me is that they lift up a rock, and then you see the cat, and I'm just like, how'd the cat get under the rock? That makes no sense. And first words out of Virginia's mouth are, that's a big, fat, juicy bug, and I'm just like, oh God, no, please, no, not the kitty, not the kitty, not the kitty, not the kitty, not the kitty!
And yes, guys, the kitty.
And yes, guys, the kitty. Ralph was the one that caught the cat.
Yeah.
I think he, like, tackled the cat and, like, bit or something.
I think he did, too, yeah.
Yeah, very disturbing.
Yeah, so you see, so yeah, go ahead. Are we at the dinner scene where you start talking?
Not yet. I did, like, the dinner.
Okay.
Scene thingy. And then the dinner scene. The children are all dressed up. They're all cutesy dressed up. Ralph comes up his little lift thingy. Peter's like, oh, look at him. He dressed up for us. Meanwhile, Emily's like, ooh. All freaked out by everything. Yeah. They have, like, these dishes on the table. And the first dish opens up and I'm just like, oh my God, no. Why? It was the kitty. And Peter makes the comment, this rabbit's well done. And I'm just like, oh, you poor, poor soul. That's not a rabbit. That's
yeah,
a cat.
Yeah, because they've convinced them that, yes, it is, in fact, a rabbit. Bruno's convinced them that it's a rabbit.
Yeah.
And Bruno's even, at this point, explained what the Mary syndrome is to them.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, go ahead.
And then they have this grass salad, which is basically just cut up grass. That's all it is. That's all the salad is.
Okay, like we've said, the grass salad, which was completely disgusting to me.
Yeah.
I was, like, expecting them to have, like, bugs in it. I really was.
I thought I saw a spider at one point.
Yeah, I was just
that's no. bad.
And then they have their mushroom dish, which they called filet du fungi.
Right.
And the way Bruno says this, he's like, yeah, Virginia has a knack for picking the unpoisonous ones. And just the smile on Virginia's face she does, it's like, one of them could have been poisoned. It could be trying to kill one of you.
Yeah.
You don't know this. Mm-hmm. And I think they actually have a pudding that has all sorts of different creepy crawlies in it. I think I remember the uncle or something, like Mr. Howe, going to grab some.
Yeah.
And like Bruno being, you don't want that. And then him looking and it's...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that thing, whatever that was. That was disgusting.
Those girls.
The guests are told that they're strictly vegetarian because if they eat meat, their illness will...
It exacerbates them?
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Whatever that
means. Which, I'm not pronouncing it right, guys. Sorry, I've got a slight speech impediment. Basically, it makes their condition worse. Like, it speeds it up for them.
Yeah, and you hear, like, Elizabeth say, it's dead, we don't eat dead. But yeah, Ralph reaches across the table and grabs the rabbit.
Right, she's air quoting it. Because, once again, the rabbit is not a rabbit. It is a cat. And actually, Peter... the uncle asks why Ralph is eating the cat or rabbit. And do you remember what Bruno said?
He can eat what he can eat.
No, he can eat what he catches.
He can eat what he catches. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Which I always thought was, well, I mean, you say they're strictly vegetarian, but now you're backtracking on yourself there, buddy.
Right.
Just kind of dumb.
Got anything else?
A little bit, yeah. Okay. We find out a little bit into the dinner scene that Miss Morris is a horror fan.
Mm.
And she starts listing off the classic Universal monsters.
Yeah, Wolfman, Dracula, Frankenstein.
And then Bruno's like, well, there's going to be a full moon tonight.
Which is great, because he was a Wolfman.
It was so great. The last thing I have here is there's a spider crawling on the table, and Emily, was it?
Emily's the aunt.
She gets up and she's like disgusted by it.
Right.
And like the lawyer who just kills it with the shoe instantly, and you just see Virginia and her whole demeanor changes.
Oh yeah, she goes to like fucker's dead now.
Yeah. Which I was just like, oh my god, this is why you're my favorite. And that's about it, I think.
So that's it for your half of the movie?
Yeah.
Okay. So Miss Moore decides to leave the house after she both spooks herself thinking about horror movies and because of the kids.
Yeah, I mean, once, I would leave too. I mean, like, the kid, Bruno's like, full moon tonight.
Yeah, once I'm Bruno out. Says that, like, she starts walking at the kids and all of them are just kind of, like, looking at her creepily. Bruno does suggest that they go to a popular inn nearby. And the lawyer actually is like, Peter, you go ahead and take her. A little bit of matchmaking there with the lawyer, I think.
A little bit, yeah.
So Bruno and Virginia prepare the rooms for the guests. And guys, if this sounds a little bit weirder, like we mentioned earlier in the show, we are reading from our little notes. Because this is a very different kind of podcast for us. Anyways, back to what I was saying. The lawyer spies on Ralph and sees he's hiding something. Ralph notices the lawyer and stops before opening the passage to the secret room. The lawyer and Emily are convinced they're hiding something financial. And I think you mentioned in one of the podcasts, and maybe you, like, maybe it was deleted and we didn't get to do it, but that you thought that Emily and the lawyer were definitely in cahoots together to get more money out of the Mary family.
Yeah, they were. It seemed like it, at least.
Yeah. So Anne, who is Miss Moore, and Peter go on a little date after leaving the Mary Manor. He suggests getting some drinks, and she's like, let's get a sandwich.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. She's so like didn't they go to Denny's?
They went to Village Inn.
Village Inn, okay.
So, like, it was an inn, and it was a popular inn. It was called the Village Inn, but I don't think it was an actual, like, Village Inn. And if it was, that's funny. Back to what I was saying. Virginia and Elizabeth discuss their fear of the lawyer and Emily. Obviously, they don't trust him. But then again, I don't think Elizabeth really trusts anyone.
Yeah, no, she seems, like, very apprehensive to even trust.
Well, her old siblings.
Yeah.
And Bruno. Because she's always saying you should hate people.
You should hate them.
All right. Virginia mentions that the lawyer looks like a bug and needs to be squished. And the ladies end up saying goodnight to their dad. And that's when you realize that their dad's been dead.
He's been dead for, like, years, guys. It's not like one of these things says, oh, he just died. No. The kid's seeing a corpse.
Right. Like, if you guys are familiar with Psycho, and if you're not familiar with Psycho, watch it. It's very much the reveal of
mother for Norman. Or, like, when you see, not, like, when you finally see the mother character in Psycho. And we're not talking Norman as mother, we're talking mother as mother, so. And if you didn't know that in the, if you did not know about that spoiler, I am so sorry. I have ruined a whole movie for you. I've ruined Bates Motel for you. I do that a fucking lot. I've ruined everything. I ruined it. Oh, wow. Anyways, the girls discover that dad's dead. Meanwhile, the girls are saying goodnight to their father. Emily is dressing for bed and uses a chair to block her door, which is smart, I think, because she doesn't trust the kids. And the lawyer is out exploring the manor while everybody's, like, sleeping, and he finds a room full of taxidermied owls. Which, I don't know why they have owls taxidermied out of all the things to have taxidermied, but they do. And there's a little jump scare in that scene where he's in the room with the owls.
Yeah. I got scared at that scene.
Right. The girls are in Emily... the girls' room is the room that Emily's in. And it's covered in makeshift spiderwebs containing dolls. Meanwhile, Ralph is outside spying on the aunt. Sorry, I have to take a pause here. During his exploring, the lawyer discovers the messenger's ear. Which is bad.
Very, very,
very
bad.
Very, very bad. So he leaves the room and notices Bruno leave. Bruno is padlocking the front gate to the manor. Okay, more paranoia. The lawyer decides to go into the secret room. And he is attacked by the relatives in the pit. Because the Merry family actually has more than just Ralph, Elizabeth, and Virginia. They've also got Uncle Ned and Aunt Flora, who are very advanced in the stages of Merry syndrome.
I think at one point Virginia talks to a spider or something, acting like it's a relative.
Yeah, but I think that might just be that she's crazy. Although that could be a relative too, because as we see later on in the movie, something very peculiar is with Aunt Flora and Uncle Ned.
Yeah.
So, we'll get to that in a minute, guys. Towards the end. Okay, so, where was I? So, he's attacked by the relatives, and then as he's leaving and getting out of the pit and everything, he's spooked by Virginia and Elizabeth at the top of the stairs. Well, the lawyer threatens to call the cops, so, of course, the girls have to take matters into their own hands, and they kill the lawyer. Virginia does it with knives, because that seems to be her go-to, because they're like stingers, and then Elizabeth with a pole.
I always thought this part was weird, that Elizabeth chose a pole.
Yeah, it is kind of odd. Bruno comes back and he finds the dead lawyer. The girls notice that he's disappointed. Virginia is upset that she upset Bruno and blames Elizabeth. Because, honestly, it was Elizabeth's fault. Elizabeth was the one who put it in her ear to, you know, kill this guy because he was going to be a tattletale. And Elizabeth totally takes credit for it. Like, she admits to it. She's like, yeah, I told her to do it. He was going to tell. So he had to die.
This is how a horror movie children work,
apparently. Yeah, exactly. And then Bruno explains to them that he promised their father that he'd take care of them no matter what, and that there would be more people like the lawyer. And he tells the girls about a new toy that he can't wait to show them, and he has to go get it, so he leaves Elizabeth in charge. And this is a really good monologue by Lon Chaney Jr. So, like, if you're watching the movie, definitely watch it for Chaney's, like, monologues, because they're good. They're really good. His soliloquies are fantastic. Back to Emily, who's been getting dressed for bed in her room. Unbeknownst to her, the lawyer's been dead. She discovers Ralph is spying on her and runs screaming from her room. She finds the dead lawyer because the girls are trying to, like, shove him into the dumbwaiter. And her outfit looks like a burlesque dancer's. I don't know why she decided that she was going to be in this haunted mansion. Well, not haunted mansion, but this, like, spooky manor with, like, thigh-high fishnet and like, a little lace robe with a fur-lined collar. But apparently that's what you wear in horror movies when you've got mentally deranged, you know, relatives.
Seems like it.
Yeah, it does. The aunt runs out of the manor and is chased by the girls and Ralph. They all wander off into the manor's backyard because obviously they can't get out of the... They're gated in. So anywhere that Emily's going to go is going to be in the estate. Like, it's going to be on the estate's property. The aunt ends up running into Ralph because the girls are calling out for her and looking for her. And of course, we've mentioned earlier, Ralph is a mute character. He doesn't talk. He just grunts a lot. Yeah. The aunt runs into Ralph. And I'm assuming by the position they fall down, And the way that Virginia calls out to her sister, the Ralph and the aunt are engaged in some sort of sexual activity. Because up until that point, like, Elizabeth and Virginia have always called each other, like, Elizabeth or Virginia. But, like, Virginia stumbles upon Ralph and the aunt, and she's just like, "Hey, Liz!" Just like that.
Yeah. Like, and I was just like, oh, God.
Yeah, so, like, very clearly, Ralph and the aunt are engaged in something. Okay, so back to Peter and Anne. Because at this point, they've gone on their little date. You know? Peter very jokingly asks Anne if she's really a Wolfman fan. Because he thinks that's hilarious because he's drunk. I found it funny because, yeah, Lon Chaney is the Wolfman. Peter and Bruno nearly wreck. Peter is either drunk or buzzed, and Bruno's distraught over what the girls did. We go back to the girls, and they're inside building a puzzle while Ralph snuggles with the aunt's stocking. I think it's the aunt's stocking. He's snuggling with something. Elizabeth is cutting puzzle pieces together to make them fit better.
I mean, that's what you do.
Yeah, Peter and Anne end up returning to the manor. Elizabeth convinced Virginia that they'll tell so they need to be dealt with. And honestly, at that point, like, they like Peter and Anne. Like, they don't really want to hurt Peter and Anne. But, again, Elizabeth convinces Virginia that, yeah, they're going to tattle. So there's definitely that kind of dilemma, that, like, moral dilemma for Virginia, because she doesn't want to hurt him.
No, and it feels like during this scene, like, Elizabeth's very pushy.
Yeah, Elizabeth is very pushy, and Virginia has those moments of, like, I don't really want to do this, like, they're nice people, you know. Anyways, the girls welcome Peter and Anne in, and explain that Bruno has gone out and that Aunt Emily is sleeping. Peter is very accepting / naive of the married children, like, he's gonna believe anything they tell them. And even if he wasn't, like, drunk, early on in the movie, you discover that Peter's very not nurturing, but, like, he's definitely not gonna think that the children are doing anything, mischievous, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it.
Yeah. So, Virginia mentions being glad Peter's back, and Elizabeth takes Anne to their father's room where she is attacked by Ralph. Virginia finally gets to play spider with Uncle Peter. And Virginia almost loses her cool when she sees Ralph taking Anne downstairs with the dumbwaiter. Like, she's in the middle of doing her whole spider thing, and she's doing, like, this little weird dance, and being very awkwardly, like, seductive toward her uncle.
Yeah, it's, like, the part where I was just like, why am I watching this
again? Yeah, she was being very seductive towards her uncle, and all of a sudden, like, she's doing her little thing, and she stops, and she sees Ralph and Anne, and there's definitely that look of, oh, I don't want this to actually happen on her face. Because she likes Anne.
Yeah, which I thought was so sweet that she actually liked two of the guests.
Yeah, she did. Virginia was a sweetheart. Like, she actually liked people. So anyways, she returns to do the dance for Peter. And it's a really awkward scene because Virginia is definitely attracted to Peter. And I'm not really sure Peter's stance. He actually kind of seems bothered by the fact that he may be enjoying it. And it is established early on that the Merry family is inbred. And that's actually one of the reasons why they have their condition, is that it's an inbred family. So, which we didn't actually cover when we were talking about what Merry syndrome was, being the regression of, like, mental capacities back to, like, animalistic traits. But yes, they are... It's based on inbreeding. So then, as she's doing her little dance for Peter, Virginia brings out the knives to sting Peter, but stops because Elizabeth needs help with Anne. Anne won't keep quiet, so Virginia suggests doing what bugs do and drain her blood. Because she's smart. Peter escapes in the meantime. Emily is alive and is on a mission to find Ralph. Because at that point, like, you didn't think Aunt Emily was alive. But she comes, like, barreling through the house in her, like, her negligee, and she's like, Ralph. And Peter's like, Emily, come back. I need help. No? Okay.
Okay, it's cool.
It's cool. I'm just all right. It's all right. Still love you because you're my sister and your family, but all right. The girls attempt to cut off Anne's leg, meanwhile, and Emily finds them and attacks Ralph. She gets thrown into the pit with her floor relatives. I'm calling floor relatives. And I think she gets eaten, actually, because you don't see her after that point.
Yeah, that was the one few things I'm just like, what happened?
Because, like, either
it's
she...
It's very confusing.
Yeah, because she fell into the pit, and either she... So, well, like, we know she fell in the pit.
Yeah, you know that for a fact.
You know that for a fact. And you know that, like, Aunt Flora and Uncle Ned swarmed her. Like, you know that. So, Flora relatives, she thinks she's gonna eat. Bruno returns and sees what's happening. He uses a back door so he misses seeing Peter altogether. Okay, because apparently this basement that's got, like, a hidden door that you can access it through a hidden door in the pantry has two fucking other entrances to it that are legitimate entrances. Why that is, I don't know why. I figure the whole point in having a secret room is so it's secret. But whatever. I don't make secret rooms. I digress. Bruno finds them. Bruno has dynamite, and that was the gift that he wanted to show the girls. Like, the toy he wanted to show the girls.
Which was, like, so darn disturbing. He's like, I got a new toy!
Yeah.
And, ba-da, dynamite.
It's dynamite.
It's like, oh, God.
So I think you guys are probably asking, like, why did they get dynamite? How'd Bruno get dynamite? I could just say, because horror movie, and that would make sense. But no, early on, which... When he's picking up the lawyer and Anne, they get caught up with road construction. And for whatever reason, it's not necessarily road construction. I think they're trying to blow up a mountainside. And they have dynamite there. So, little scene where they're driving to Merry Manor and they're getting caught up in road construction because there's, yeah. So that's why Bruno has dynamite. Peter finally gets to free himself and Bruno sees him searching for Anne and says he has to take her and go. And you finally get to see Uncle Ned and Aunt Flora. And they look like wolves.
Yeah, they do.
They look like wolves. They're very furry.
At first, they're trying to be wolves. Right. They're like some type of caveman type thing going on.
Right. Definitely. And it ends with Bruno blowing up the manor. Then, present time, Peter is the sole survivor of the Merry family. And he has gained a massive amount of riches because of that. Being the sole survivor. He married Anne. And had a daughter named Jessica. And he claims his side of the family was so removed from the main line that his family was not affected by Mary syndrome. However, the movie ends with his daughter playing outside, being completely enamored and fascinated by a spider.
Yeah, and I think, like, the end of the movie is like, and
yeah, it's like a little question mark. It's like, really, man, guys? Alright, guys, so that was our review on Spider Baby. Like I said, it's not a normal kind of review. Usually we compare and contrast.
Yeah, we usually do.
Next week, we are going to be, well, not next week, but the next podcast episode will be on The Mummy. And it's going to be the original with Boris Karloff and the newest one with Tom Cruise. And I know I mentioned in other podcasts that we would be doing the Brandon Fraser one, but it wasn't that expensive to buy a new Mummy movie, and I figured with it being Women in Horror Month, February being Women in Horror Month, that
it'd
we
be
should,
a good
yeah, movie. We should definitely do something that's like, that kind of, well, woman, it has a woman as a villain. After that one, we're going to be doing Rosemary's Baby, so that'll be fun. And then after Rosemary's Baby, I'm not really sure what we're going to be doing, because it's always difficult to find movies that, one, Zoe will want to watch, because, again, we've mentioned, you're not into horror movies that much, are you?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, see. Alright, so any closing thoughts before I shut this down?
No, not particularly.
Okay, well then, guys, we'll see you again in probably 2-ish, 3-ish, 4 months. Again, it just depends on how Audacity is going to work for me. All right. So, bye.